This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Wash all the filth away and change my dead heart. Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So change my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of The Power of Dhikr. Today we are continuing our speech or our discussion from the previous episode about the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal and about their relationship to dhikr, and that they are the most, the highest form of the remembrance of Allah and the most virtuous of knowledge and the most beneficial of all of the knowledge that a Muslim can gain is the knowledge of Allah's names and attributes. Continuing our discussion, it's very important that we understand that Allah's names and attributes don't have a fixed number. Allah's names don't have a fixed number. There is a hadith, an authentic hadith, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has 99 names, whoever, and the word here is ahsaha, whoever understands them, implements them, acts upon them, learns them, memorizes them. This is all the meaning of ahsaha, not just memorizes them, but acts upon them, calls upon Allah with them, will enter paradise. But this hadith does not tell us that Allah has only 99 names. This hadith does not tell us that Allah has only 99 names. It tells us that Allah has many names, from those names are 99. Much like if I say to you, I have a £20 note or a $20 note or a $10 note in my pocket. Just because I have a $10 note in my pocket doesn't mean that I don't have another $10 note in my pocket, or indeed another one or another one. I'm talking about something specific and not making a complete statement. So the hadith, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةٍ وَتِسْعِينَ إِسْمًا, that Allah has 99 names, it doesn't say إِنَّمَا. It doesn't say that Allah has only 99 names. So Allah has many, many, many names, and from this we can see that the names in the Quran and the authentic Sunnah are more than 99, and indeed that Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned that there are names that we don't know, there are names that will be taught to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the Day of Judgment, there are names that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has kept in the unseen with him. And this is part of the dua that, O Allah, I call upon you with every name that is yours, that you named yourself, or that you taught to anyone, or you sent down in your book, or you taught to any one of your slaves, أَوْ اِسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي الْعِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ, or you kept it in the unseen with you. So there are names of Allah Azza wa Jal that we do not yet know, and there are names in the Qur'an and the Sunnah which exceed 99 names. It's also very important that we take the names of Allah from the Qur'an and the Sunnah, the authentic Qur'an and the Sunnah. And in this point, it's worth us mentioning that the 99 names that are mentioned on the posters and the 99 names that are mentioned in the hadith of Jami' al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, these names are not from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what we call in the science of hadith, idraj, al-mudraj. And what happened was, the narrator was narrating the hadith about the names of Allah, and he said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ عِسْمًا مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, whoever learns them will enter paradise. And then the shaykh himself, not the Prophet ﷺ, the person who was teaching in the masjid, said, they are, and he began to say, they are Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jab, and he continued. These names were from the effort of the shaykh in the masjid, not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what happened was something we call idraj, which means that the students, or some of the students who were listening, they did not distinguish that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's statement had finished and the explanation of the shaykh had begun. So what they did is they mixed the two, and they said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they are. And that's where these posters of the 99 names are made from. And these posters contain names which are not from the names of Allah at all. Like Ar-Rashid. Ar-Rashid is not a name of Allah Azza wa Jalla in any form. There is not one single hadith or ayah to suggest that Allah Azza wa Jalla's name is Ar-Rashid. That's just to give you a simple example. So we must be very careful with the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, that we take them from the Quran and from the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's something that we need to be aware of. there are some principles with regard to the names and attributes of Allah that we also need to be aware of when we remember Allah using His names and His attributes. One of those, and this is extremely important, is that we affirm for Allah what Allah affirms for Himself or Himself, and what His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirms for Him. So, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. He is the all-hearing and He is the all-knowing. So we affirm that Allah is As-Sami'. We affirm that Allah is the all-hearing. We affirm that Allah is described as hearing. We affirm that Allah hears. Likewise, Allah is Al-Alim. We affirm that Allah is the all-knowing. We affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge. And we affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that has happened and everything that will happen and everything that is happening now and everything that hasn't happened, what would happen if it had happened. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is infinite in every single way, and we affirm that. We also affirm what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Allah. So in an authentic dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَذْهِبِ الْبَأْسَ رَبَّ النَّاسِ O Lord of mankind, make the sickness go away. إِشْفِ وَأَنْتَ الشَّافِي. Cure, and you are a Shafi. So the name Ash-Shafi doesn't come in the Quran, but it comes in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah is Ash-Shafi, the one who is the curer, the one who brings about the cure. And in reality, we treat people with medicine, but we don't cure them. Allah is the one who cures them. And so we affirm what Allah affirms for Himself, and we affirm what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirms for Him. And we negate what Allah negates for Himself, and we negate what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam negated about Him. So Allah tells us in Ayatul Kursi, for example, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Allah is not afflicted or affected by slumber or sleep. So Allah does not slumber and Allah does not sleep. So just like Allah said He does not do those things, then we say that Allah does not do those things. Allah says, وَمَا رَبُّكَ, and your Lord is not, or وَرَبُّكَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ, your Lord is not oppressive to the slaves, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to oppress any of His slaves. This comes several times in the Quran. So we again affirm that Allah does not oppress His slaves. We affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinitely just and infinitely wise. So we affirm, not only do we negate what Allah negates, but we affirm the opposite. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He does not sleep, that means Allah has the most perfect form of life, and that is the meaning of the word Al-Hayy, the name Al-Hayy, that Allah has the most perfect form of life, that He has no beginning and no end, and He never dies, He never rests, and He never slumbers or sleeps. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is not oppressive to His slaves, we affirm that Allah is infinitely just. So we not only negate, but we affirm the opposite. And the same is true for those things which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam negated about Allah Azza wa Jal and said they were not true about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we come to really what is a very important point in terms of the names and attributes of Allah, that in these names and attributes we avoid four things. And these four things are the root of misguidance when it comes to remembering Allah and the names of Allah. These are the real problems. Four things. The first thing is what we call ta'atil. And ta'atil is to deny the name of Allah, one of the names of Allah or His attributes, or to say that the name has no meaning, or to completely disconnect Allah from His names and attributes, as was done by some of the misguided sects of Islam. So we don't deny Allah's names and attributes. Whatever Allah affirms, we affirm. Whatever the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirms in the authentic sunnah, whether it is mutawatir or whether it is ahad, whether it is narrated by many people or only a few, if it's authentic, we affirm for Allah what He affirmed for Himself and what His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed for Him, and we don't deny them. And we don't compare Allah azza wa jal to His creation. We don't do what is called tamthil, where we compare Allah Azza wa Jal to His creation. So we don't take the names of Allah Azza wa Jal and say that Allah is similar to us. Allah sees like we see. Allah hears like we hear. No, Allah Azza wa Jal hears and sees in a way that is befitting to His Majesty Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But at the same time, we must be careful we don't fall back into ta'atil by denying it. So we say, yes, Allah sees. And yes, we know what it means to see. And we understand what it means to see. It's very clear, very simple. Seeing is seeing. We know what seeing means. We know what hearing means. But we don't know, for Allah Azza wa Jalla, we don't compare Allah to His creation. And this brings us to the third thing. We don't ask how. So we don't say about Allah Azza wa Jalla, how does Allah see? Because you can only know how something happens if you see something, or if you compare it to something else, or if you have knowledge from a reliable source. So we haven't seen Allah, we won't see Allah until we die, and we don't have anything to compare Allah to, because Allah is not comparable to His creation, and also we do not have any reliable source of information from Allah, from His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about how Allah does things. And then finally, we don't misinterpret. We don't do what is called ta'wil, or what is called sort of figuratively interpreting or misinterpreting the names of Allah. We take them as they come upon the apparent meaning of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And this is very important, because Allah has sent down this Qur'an in a pure Arabic tongue. Allah has sent down this Qur'an in a pure Arabic tongue. And it's not possible for us to believe that the Qur'an itself has ayat that have no meaning, or ayat whose meaning is completely opposite to the meaning that we understand. This would not be clarity, and this would not be something which was befitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, when Allah says something, He says what He means. And this is very clear in the Qur'an, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He speaks, we understand His speech according to the apparent meaning that we receive from the ayah, according to the apparent and the clear meaning which is known in Arabic. But at the same time, we don't compare Allah to His creation, we don't ask how. So for example, let's take a simple example just to wrap this up, so that we understand when we're doing our dhikr, how we approach the names and attributes of Allah. Let's take a simple example. Let's take the example of Allah Azza wa Jal rising above the throne. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arshi istawa. Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, has risen above the throne. The word istiwa is well known to us. We know what it means. It means to rise, to rise up, to elevate. These are all the meanings of istiwa. We know what it means, basically. When I say to you, rising up, you understand what it means. But at the same time as you understanding what it means, you don't say that it is similar to the way that we rise up, or the way that we stand up, or the way that we climb, or the way that we ascend. It's not similar, because Allah, there is nothing similar to Allah Azza wa Jal. And at the same time, you don't ask how Allah Azza wa Jal does that particular thing, because we don't know. Allah knows how He does something, and we don't know. And we, of course, we don't compare Allah Azza wa Jal to His creation. We don't deny, we don't twist the meaning, and don't ask how. So this is these are principles when it comes to the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal that we understand and we implement them in our dhikr. And the last thing that we're going to mention in this, to conclude our topic of the names and attributes of Allah, is that we must implement them, which means that when you know this about Allah, you know that Allah is Ar-Rahman, you know that Allah is As-Sami', you know that Allah is Al-Basir, you know that Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Hakim, you have to implement that in your life. So you fear Allah because of His attributes that make you fear Him. You hope in Allah because of His attributes that give you hope. You love Allah because of all of His attributes that give you that understanding. And this is why we use this in our dhikr, and we try to understand the meanings, and we try to really get into implementing the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal in our lives. And that is the meaning of man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. The one who learns them, memorizes them, understands their meaning, and acts upon them will enter paradise. That's all we have time for in this episode, inshallah. Please do join me for a future episode of The Power of Dhikr. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So check my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray.